Okay. Okay, so we're up to dealing with the problem. Okay, just a second. The problem was, why... Okay, so we're starting. So the problem was we were dealing with is why you don't say on the second day of Yontif, of Sukkot, that it's basically, it's because of the Sfeika Dioma, you treat the second day like the first day. You do on every Yontif. You have two Sindarim, you blow shofar on both days. So when you say that the second day of Yontif should be the same as the first day, Misafik, because that's what we treat it. We always treat it like, since we were, they used to be in doubt about the days, therefore we'll treat it the same way. So why don't you treat it the way we normally treat it? That it's exactly the same. Rather, it seems from the Gemara that we're saying second day is the same as the third day, fourth day, all it's basically the first versus the rest of the seven. Right? But what happens to Sfeika Dioma? Right? So all the psulim and the difference should be all the disqualifications of the first day should be exactly the same as the first and second day. The other day is not, but the first and second day should be exactly the same. Now, by the way, there are many who learn that way. Many Rishonim who do learn that way. Okay? There are Rishonim who learn that way. There are also those who don't learn that way. Okay, so the question is why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? So last week we gave a svara, because as a maybe, but perhaps you'll say that the lulav isn't part of the Gdusha Yom, and the halacha of Sfeika Dioma is only on the Yom itself, not just on a mitzvah on that day. Right. I mean, you could say, I was just making this a support, perhaps. To that idea is like, for instance, the Sfira, you don't count two Sfiras. They say it's a suffix what the date is, so therefore count two Sfiras, right? Count, start Sfira the first night and then start the second night because it's like the Homo, so every night you should count two Sfiras. So you could just say you can't do that because Sfira doesn't lend itself to counting twice. The whole idea is you're identifying what the day is. Sfira Somer, if they can't count two at the same time, it would be a contradiction or something. I'm not so sure there would be a contradiction. I mean, you do think, like we did with the Kriyas Torah and the Karban Musaf, we say Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi, But maybe it's different, because you're always saying Hayom, Yom, Rishon, But I think a simpler answer is because, just because we say Sfeika Dioma and we treat the second day as Yontif, doesn't mean that it becomes that date. It just means the Kedusha Hayom, you treat the second day as the same Kedusha Hayom as the first day. But those are only things that are intrinsically tied to Kedusha Hayom. Sfira Somer is not intrinsically tied to Kedusha Hayom. Sfira Somer just accounts from the dates. So you know the date, we know the dates, you do the count. So similarly, I'm saying Lulav, you could argue, is not intrinsically part of Kedusha Hayom. It's not a Yom HaLulav, it's Yom HaSukkos. So the Lulav is a mitzvah that you do on Tesvav or whatever, so we know on Tesvav of Sukkos. So true, back when you really were in doubt, so then you'd have to do it as a doubt. You'd have to treat it like the Doraisa. But here, it's not really part of the Yom. So now basically just do it on the day, and we know what date it is. Right, but as opposed to, or say, shofar, is like you see, it's Yom Chua Yelachan. It's the definition of the Yom. Or Matzos, Chag HaMatzos. The idea of the little Tesvav is, you argue, is intrinsically part of the Yom. So, yes, so that's, you could say that. That's an answer. Again, no, Rishon don't say, again, someone asked me, like, I didn't, when I thought of this answer, I didn't know that the Balmor talked about it or gave an answer. So I didn't know they asked the question even. I just thought it bothered me. Well, it's the whole deal, and I thought of this answer. And then I saw the Balmor, he gives a different answer. But I think it makes sense. I mean, I'm not convinced that the answer is true, because it's kind of positing about the Kedusha Hayom and, positing certain things. But it's a good answer, which may not be true. But okay, fine. But apparently the Balmor didn't give that answer. The Balmor had a different answer. So that's what we want to do today. So the Balmor, he learns that. Yeah, but by the way, I was looking around. I mean, we'll go into these things, but there are a lot of Rishonim on this again. I mean, there's on this question. I mean, this question about which things are noeg on the first day, which things are noeg on the second day, which psulim are carried over, which psulim are carried over the Raisa, which are in the Darabanan. Which are even in the Deraisa itself, there's two facets. There's the first day, and then there's all 7 days in the basement, in the Mikdash. So there's there's a Ravid. It's very interesting, is that the Ravid basically, there's like, it's in the Ramban, the green Ramban. So there's a Ravid wrote, like, his halachos on Lulav. It's like a little book. a few pages where he basically goes through all the sugyas on lulav. He says basically, since it's like an alincha, since the sugyas in the Bavli, it's very hard to really paskin all the shailas. They don't really discuss everything appropriately. He says, I went through the Bavlis and the Yerushalmis and the Sifris, or I don't know, whatever, all the different sources, Tosefta's, and he says he makes a compendium of how he learns all the sugyas and his psaks and all these things. And then the Ramban didn't like most of those things, and he wrote a counter, basically, where he takes up the all the points the Raiva does, and he gives his own little thing. So it's like a little safer on Hilchos Lulav, and you know, by both of them. And this is like the first thing they both discuss is this question: which psalm ones, you know, which psalm carry over, which ones don't. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know if we'll go through it in depth. And then there's this Ron, which you read as a big Ron. And I think that I think there's a Rosh also. I mean, this is thoroughly discussed by the Rishonim. I'm not sure we can go through every single point, but we'll take up a number of points. Rambam also learns a little differently than everybody. So okay, so back to the Rosh Hashanah. So so he basically learns. He says that when do you say? So the kasha is, why don't you say on the second day of Sukkot? So we have to treat the second day like the first day, and we have to have all the chumras of the first day, the first day vis-a-vis the lulav and aswag. Why is it that we treat the second day like, and we're mekel, we're lenient, and the halacha is just like the other third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day? The second day should really be a replica of the first day, and you should have to be machmir. So all the, for instance, like the lacham, that has to be yours, you should have to own it. Okay, so the Ravid says, this is, it's the Ravid, it's in the paragraph, it's like halfway down the page, and if you down off in the Daf Eref. Okay. So he says, Ulididan. It's like, 6 lines up from where it says Shal, from the paragraph Shal. Right in the middle of the line. Ulididan, Islan Trey Yom Eshel Yantif. So we have 2 days of Yantif. Mestabra, the Cholab Sulam Yantif Risham Sulam Eshani. So he says, we basically treat all the psalm of the Frisha on our Pasal and Sheni. Second day also. They have to go to the Adina and Hashem to the Archa, because even though now we know the calendar, if you look there, and it tells them also a Kilo Avisafi gets Lena. I mean, they go saying, we basically treat it like they treated it, and they treated it, they didn't know which day was which. So since they didn't know which day was which, so they have to treat the second day. Maybe the second day was really the Deraisa. So therefore they had to treat it, so we have to do what they did. Aviyash Mishon were Shein. So that's basically what the Baal Mar learns that we do. He treats it, he says, he treated it. The second day really is like the first day. But Yesh Mishomer, She'en Apsul Nogim Yom Tavrish Nogim Yom Tosheni Vizmanazah. Some want to say that it's not true. That the Psulim of the first day are only the first day, not the second day. The Kim of the Adin Rikvid the Archa, because since we know the calendar of Ein Lung, there's Yom Sheni, Eliza, Minah, Seinu, Kedis, and Berakam, the Beit, so we only just have to have a Minog, to be careful to follow their Minog. It's only to be machmir, to be stringent in the kedusha. But to be machmir in the mitzvos of the first day, in lana we don't have to do it. Okay, because any time you want to take on like a chumra, and you start off by being machmir, but it will lead to a kula, to a leniency. There's no, you don't do that. Shariyim lo matzahadar. Because you're telling me, let's say, for instance, you say in the sun and the Darabonans, you don't need a little tahadar. Okay? Darabonans, the rice, so it has to be beautiful. Let's say it has to have pitam. Okay? So on the first day, it has to have pitam. Second day, it doesn't have pitam. It doesn't need a pitam in the Darabonan. And now, if you want to treat the second day like the Daraisa and say it needs to have pitam, let's say you can't find an asrog that doesn't have pitam. So basically, you're not going to take an asrog. So it's going to turn out that they're really trying to be stringent and to demand that you have a pitam. But that stringency is going to lead to leniency. Because in a case where you can't find the lulav which doesn't have a pitam, which has a pitam, so you're not going to take anything. Right? So therefore, he says that there's no idea to take on, that we take on the second day is to be machmir, stringent in the Kedush Zayam, in Isser. You don't do malacha or whatever. But you're not machmir vis-a-vis the mitzvahs, because that will end up leading to a leniency. Okay? That's their argument. But the Baal Mor says, Kirchein Rayim Achras, Lifter, Inland Lifter, he says. So that's just their Svara, but he says a Svara, but it's not a proof. And therefore, he says that you should treat it, you should be Machmer. Okay, but the Ran doesn't like it altogether. The Ran says, Lon Uli Dvarav, the Vada Inland Li Potter Mintilaso. He says, why should we be Potter? Ali Anubisman Hazak, Abbasainu Shalevi Kimi Pudish HaKodesh, will be exactly like our fathers, our forefathers. So he says, well, what's the whole idea? That we have to keep them in what they used to do. So what would they do on the second day? So the second day, they weren't sure whether it was really the first day and it was their Isa, or whether the second day and it's their Rabbanan. Right? So what would they do? So let's say, so they try to find the lulav that they had to fit them, because maybe it's the first day, and if it doesn't fit them, it's possible on the first day. But let's say they couldn't find one like that. Let's say the only one they found is one without a pitum. So therefore, in terms of the first day, if it's really the first day, so don't take it. But and don't certainly don't make a bracha, you can't take it. But in terms of if it's the second, if it's really the second day, then you chayev to take it, you chayev to make a bracha. So the compromise would be that they would take it without making a bracha. Take it because if it's the second day, you chayev to take it. And don't make a bracha because if it's the first day, then you're not doing anything. So that's what they would do. Since they were in Suffolk, that's what they would do. So that's what we should do. We should do exactly what they did. That's the idea. We do what they did. So what's the Balamara is bringing down to say, no, we can't do the Chumrah of the second day because it's going to lead to a Kula. It's going to lead to leniency. Why is it going to lead to leniency? You don't have to lead to leniency. Just make the bracha. It's only lead to leniency if you say, since I can't find the pitum, I'm just not going to do it altogether. But if you just take it without a bracha, it's not going to lead to any problems. You just do what they did and everything's great. So it's a good point the Ron's making. What's the Balamor's? Doesn't seem like the Balamor had a problem with it, he just says it's not a proof. I mean, but what's the argument? We'll call it the Balamor, even though it's not exactly the Balamor. The Balamor is bringing someone down as the Yishmi Shomer. But let's call that the Balamor. What's that svar? Okay, what's that svar? And what's the Machokas? Ron's point seems convincing. Yeah, I mean, just the basic sense of principle, Chomer Lesa De Kula. I think it means, it doesn't, the word chumrah and kula being used wrong, it's a little bit different. See, chumrah means it's a chumrah, you want to be a machmer, right? You want to take on, you want to be stringent about something. So be stringent to be whatever, to keep the manner of what they did. But, or whatever stringency you want to take on yourself. But the whole idea is because you hold that you want to go beyond the letter of the law. Let's say in general, I'm talking about, I forget this case exactly, but the universal application of the thing is. What's a chumrah? Someone's the guy who says that I want to go beyond the letter of the law. I don't want to, I'm more than just the regular halakha. I want to go beyond that. That's whatever reason. Assuming good motivations and all that, move to really be more machmir, to take on something additional. But if that additional thing is going to lead you to do an avera, like to do a kula here means to violate the halakha, something which is against the halakha. So, or it's going to be a leniency, so then that's not really, you're not really being a machmir guy. The whole idea of the chumra is because you have such an adherence to halacha and a commitment to halacha that you want to go for the chumra. But if the guy, if at the very same time your chumra is causing you to be a mekel, let's say to violate or to be to take on like a difficult kula, so then, what's the whole point of the whole thing? Just keep the halacha, the basic halacha, the way it is, and this way you don't be a machri, don't be a mekel. I mean, the whole value of the thing is because you're so committed to the halacha, you even want to be a machmir. But if it's going to create a kula, then it's just not worth it. The whole thing is stick with the halacha, go to the basic halacha, don't be a machri, don't be a mekel. You know, mekel means in a place where it's not appropriate to be a mekel. So it's going to turn out you're going to be lenient, and it would be like, as an example, like, let's say, for instance, you'd say is that, I'm not sure it's exactly the same case, but like, let's say, for instance, you have tzitzis, the question of what the size of tzitzis has to be, in order for it to be the mitzvah of tzitzis. So let's say, you'll say, is the only thing you have is, let's say, a small tzitzis, let's say, now, which are questionable whether they're the shear or not. So you'll say, look, I'll be machmir, I'll wear them anyways. Even though maybe it's not really filling the minhag of tzitzis because it's not really the shear of tzitzis, but look, I'll be machmir, and I'll wear them anyways. Okay? But then, let's say you're going to wear them on Shabbos, and you're going to walk in a place with an Rosh Hashanah. So it turns out, if they're not really the shear of tzitzis, then it turns out that you're carrying the strings. It's on the strings. So here it is, you want to be a machmir, because you want to be a machmir and wear tzitzis, even though it might not be tzitzis, but you want to be a machmir. So being a machmir. Yeah, but you don't realize that you being a machmir, you're being mekel in Shabbos. So forget your chumrah, stick with the halach. Let's say it's a chumrah, and don't go with your chumrah, and don't go with the kula. Turns out, you think you're doing a chumrah, you could really be doing a kula. So it's saying, sometimes something which is a chumrah, you have to think out, make sure that the chumrah is really based on a commitment to the halacha, so then it can't be end of the closing of Kula, otherwise it's just, what are you doing? Well, they're not gaining anything. Right? Even if it's in a different area. So the thing is that, in theory, that's what the Rambam's saying. We want to take on a Chumrah, to be Machmer Yad of Sheni, and treat it like the Deoraisa. Yeah, but by doing so, it's going to turn out, you're not going to take a little of an Asarag on Yad of Sheni. If there's no Pitam, you're not going to, if you don't have one of the Pitam, you're not going to take a little of an Asarag on Yad of Sheni. And then you're going to be knocking out the Rabbanon. So it's going to turn out that in your attempt to try to keep the minhag of our forefathers intact, which is a minhag, it's a superadded minhag, it's not intrinsic halacha, we're going to knock out a real halacha in the Rabbanon. Right? So it's just not a good chumrah. So that's what he's saying, is don't take it on. Right, what are you accomplishing? You're accomplishing a minhag, a good minhag is a nice idea, but it's not worth it. To which the Ron says, yeah, but, and this is, maybe this was bothering you, Danny, but the Ron says, no, in that case, so take it misafik. So who said in that, look, the general idea is where it's going to be a chumrah. Chumrah is going to be that we're going to make sure you get a lulav that has a pitam, that's why he has a pitam, that's going to be a chumrah. Now, what's going to happen in the year where you can't find any? So then you'll take one of them out of pitam and you won't make a bracha. So that's your chumrah. You know, who said you have to actually be mekel? It's not, it's not necessarily lining up, you're just being machmir, just whenever you could. But in that year, you'll take it, you'll take the other one without a bracha. And he says, you may say, what kind of thing is that? But that's what they must have done back then. He's saying, isn't that exactly what they did back then? Back then, they treated it as stuff they weren't sure which day was, they weren't sure what day was the rice of the Rabbanon. It's the rice, so you can't take it without a pitam. If it's the Rabbanon, you could. So what would they do in that year if the only thing they had is one without a pitam? They'd do it without a bracha. And we're resilient what they did. So that's the idea. And then what we have to do exactly what they did. That's the halacha. So we're doing what they did. That's the Ron's argument. So what's the Balamar's point? Okay. So something like this. Maybe the pshat is that the Balamar holds that the minhag is to take on the chumras which they had. Okay. The basically your machmer, your zohir in the minhag of a seichab. Okay, and zohir means you're careful, which means you take on the chumras. Take on their chumras. But a chumrah, a chumrah means the those halachos which are conceptually a chumrah. Okay, so for instance, an isser malacha is a chumrah. Because it's an isser. You're being machmir not to do malacha. Right? So that's a chumrah. But to say that an esrog without a pitam is possible, that's not exactly a chumrah, conceptually. See, that's a definition of a chafza. The definition of esrog on the first day is blank, the definition on the second day is blank. Now, usually, that will lead to a chumrah, because it's a more restrictive definition of the thing. And therefore, a guy is going to have to seek out a more restrictive chafza. He's going to have to seek out an esrog that has a pitam. But in a year where he doesn't find one of those, so then it's going to lead him to be mekel, because he's going to basically say, "Oh, I have to take a little esrog, but there are no esrogs." I mean, so the fact that you could have sometimes a kula and sometimes a chumrah shows you that conceptually it's not really a chumrah. Conceptually, it's just an alternate definition of what a chafta, the chafta shel esrog is. Okay, it's more restrictive, but why is restrictive a chumrah? It's just it's a more restrictive definition of the thing. But a chumrah, like a malacha, is a chumrah because it's an isser. You know, an isser. But defining a chafta shel mitzvah, the mitzvah, that's not a chumrah. Saying you have to do something is a chumrah. Saying that there are just two different definitions. So the Raisa has one definition, the Darabana has a different definition. So now today is the Darabana day. So now you're saying, yeah, but we should be knowing their chumras. Yeah, but this isn't a chumrah. It's really the Darabana day. So actually we have the halacha of the definition of the Darabana. And the fact that it's suffic, Darabana, suffic, whatever, but we're only knowing those halachos which are whose conceptual definition is a chumrah. Whereas the Ran is just saying is that no, that we simply have to act. The minhag seichab is that we act exactly like they act, and we would do whichever nihugim of chumrah. See, in like as a nihug, it could be a nihug of a chumrah. Whereas in those years where you could find other sorghum, it's a niyoga v'chumra. It's a kasher acting in a stringent manner. But in the other years, obviously you're not going to do it because you're not acting stringently. Whereas, it's like this, in a certain sense, like going to the run, it's like action, nihugim of v'chumra. We are noheg whatever chumra they did. It means we're stringent in those days, those cases, those instances which they were stringent. But the Baal Mor, it means we take on the halachos which are chumras, which they had. They had a chumra of an esrog malacha, we take on the chumra, that halacha of a chumra. But they had a definition of an esrog, a definition of an esrog is a chumra kula. Although in some instances it may result in a niyog of a chumra, because it's going to force you to go out and get a desa, want a certain kind of an lulav. In other instances it will result in a kula. So the nature of the concept, the halacha is an halacha of a chumra. What the Ron is learning is that the words noheg like that means we take on whatever chumra they took on, but not the halachas of chumra, the nihugim of chumra. So the nihug of chumra is you don't unify them. They're two different cases. One nihug is, what do I do in a year where there are two asterisks around? So I pick the good one. That's a chumra. And then what do I do in a year where there's only no asterisks? There's only things. Then my nihug of chumra is that I'm going to take this one without making a bracha. Because I'm always going to take on that, even though they're opposite chumras. You know, one of them I'm treating it like it is a, you know, their chumra really had played out. A real safek creates opposite chumras. In a year where you have both of them, you're forced to go with to find the one that has a pitum and say the other one is in kasher. In a year where all you have is the one without a pitum, so then the chumra is to assume that is kasher and to say it, but don't make a bracha. Take it, but don't make a bracha. So a real suffix puts you into a situation where you're machmir on both sides. So the nihug that's going to result is, it's like a contradictory nihug, but it's because you're a suffix. So therefore, the chumra, the nihug is a nihug of the chumras on both sides. So the Ron holds that the minhug of a seichem is that we take on those nihugim of chumra, whatever chumra they did, whatever action of being machmir they did, we do. So we have to take a good one, and if all we have is the other one, take that without making bracha. Whereas the Baal Mor is saying is that no, the halacha of the minhug of seichem deichem is that those halachos whose nature is the chumra, those activities, those halachic constructs, whose nature is this conceptual nature is chumra, that they did, so we do those also. But that's going to be an isser malacha. Isser is a chumra. Or even a chiyah would be a chumra. Like blowing shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's a chumra. It's a chumra to do a mitzvah. You know, to do it. But here, we're not being machmir to do it, we're doing it anyways. It's just the question is, are we going to do it anyways because it's a darabanan? Are we going to do it b'toras the definition of lulav of the darabanan definition or the deraisa definition? That's not chumra, that's just a matter of which definition. Sometimes they are a result of chumra, sometimes they are a result of kula. That's not chumra altogether. No, so in our case, Balamar's case is he's saying is that when it comes to lula, it's an esrog. So you want to know is does the halacha of treating an esrog without a pitum as possible? Where will we makabel that? Okay. So the question is that part of the minhag of a seichem that we treat? So the question is, well, is that a halacha of a chumra? Is the halacha that an esrog without a lulav is possible? Is that a chumra? Is that a chumra halacha?
Without a pitum
is possible. Right? Is that a chumra halacha? The answer is no. It's not a chumra halacha. It depends. If you have both kinds of lulav esrogs. So then it's a chumra, because you're forcing a guy to chase after the one without it, you know, with the one with the pitum. If you don't have both kinds of lula esrogs, then it's a kula, because you're telling the guy, you don't have to take esrog this year. So the halacha itself is not a chumra nor a kula. It's just a definition of a chafta. That's not a chumra. So we are only mekabel, the minhag of seichem is just to be zahir in the chumras that, which they took on. Since they're in Safi, they took on certain halachas of chumra. So it's a malacha, it's a chumra they took on. But it doesn't mean we're not really in Safek. If you're really in Safek, then you're going to have to play everything. We're not really in Safek. We're just taking on those halachos whose nature is chumra. So we'll take on a malacha or a chiyuvim. We're not going to take on to define the object this way because that is neither nor kula nor chumra. But the Ron's only, we just take on the practical niyugim of chumra, the actions of chumra. The actions of chumra are going to be the opposite actions depending on which year. Like, let me give you another example. It's like the term chumra could be used in different senses. Like, let's say you say that back to tzitzis. Okay, like let's say you say it's a question whether nowadays there's such a thing. We know what tcheilas is. Okay, it's a debate. Okay? There are those who say that we have Tchelos nowadays. Right? There are those who say that without a Mesorah, so there's no Tchelos. They're more, so to speak, a more restrictive definition of Tchelos. Tchelos is not just that which is the species which whatever, but it's that species which is set up through Mesorah. It's a species of Tchelos they hold. That's what the Briskos hold. That it's only Tchelos has to be a Mesorah. So it's the certain species of worm dye, the dye of a certain species of worm, which is passed down from generation to generation through Mesorah. And they hold, since there's no Mesorah anymore, so that's not Tchelos. Halachically, that's not Tchelos. Okay, whereas the others say definition of Tchelos is purely like a physical, zoological, whatever definition. Okay? So
is it the animal or is it not?
Is it the animal or is it not the animal, right? But the Briskos say, no, it's not, is the animal or not? It's not as simple. Is it the halachic animal of the Mesorah or not? So even if it is the animal, but it's not Mesorah, that's not Tchelos. Tchelos is the halachic entity. So if I'd ask you, is who's more machmir? Who has a more like a chamor definition of what Tchelos is? Whose definition is like a more restrictive kind of? The Mesorah one. Because there, it's a more conceptually, it's more restrictive. Because the other ones say it's very easy to have Tchelos. It's whatever the species is. Whereas this is conceptually a more restrictive definition. It's the species plus that it has to be Mesorah. They're machmir in the definition. They say there's more requirements to create the definition of Tchelos. But if I'll ask you practically, on a practical level, who's more machmir? The Briskos or the other people? Halachically.
Who's
as a posek, who's being more machmer in their psak?
Not the Briskos, I would say.
Not the Briskos, right, because the other ones are saying you're chayiv to go out and get Tchelos. And the Briskos are saying, don't worry about it. Chill. You don't have to get Tchelos. We don't have Tchelos anymore nowadays. Right? So according to the other ones, you have to spend money and go out and get Tchelos and figure out a diet. Whereas according to the Briskos, they're saying you don't do anything. You know, you don't need to do Tchelos, you know? So even though like the Briskos have a more chamor definition of the chafza of what Tchelos is, but the practical outcome of the thing is really a kula, right? It's a kula. So you see, like there's a difference in nihug and then. And so the point is that I wouldn't really say it's not really true. I wouldn't really say the Briskos are machmir in what Tchelos is. I'd say what Tchelos is not a chamor kula question. I mean, I was describing it like that way, but it's really a misnomer. I mean, it's nothing to do with chamor kula. It's just a question of how do you define tchelos. Now, it may result in an outcome of one machmir and one mekel, but you wouldn't say the Briskos are more machmir or more mekel. They're neither. The fact that in the outcome it turns out that according to the Briskos you don't have to go out and get tchelos, and according to the other ones you do have to get tchelos, doesn't mean this guy's a more machmir posik and this is a more mekel posik. Machmir mekel is your pasuk in Yisro Hatta. You say this is us, sir. You're not allowed to do this. You're allowed to do this. You know, where you're chayiv to this, you're not chayiv to this. But the definition of tchelos is not a chumar or a kula. It's just, what's the definition of tchelos? I define halachically. The fact that it may have an outcome of a chumar or outcome of a kula is like a practical result. But it's not, conceptually, it's not an area of a chumar or a kula. Right? You with me? So I'd say similarly, if you want to know, is the defining esrog in a way that an esrog must be hadar. It must have a pitam. That's not a chumar, nor is it a kula. It's nothing. It's just a definition. It's a more restrictive definition of an esrog, just like tchelos or mesorah is a more restrictive definition of tchelos. But it's not intrinsically a chumrah, nor is it intrinsically a kula. It just, chumrah or kula could result in it, and in fact, the definition of esrog, some years will result in chumrah. If you have both esrogs, you're going to be chayiv to spend money for one with a pitam. In years where there are no esrogs around, it's going to result in a kula. It's going to result in a kula because it's going to say that you don't have to take a lulav this year. You don't take an esrog this year. Whereas the other guy would say, you have to take an esrog this year. Right? So conceptually, it's not a chumra, it's just a niyog. It's just conceptually, just a definition of what an esrog is. So that's what Malamar is saying, is that the halacha of Minim HaSemik Dechem is that we're zahir. That's what he says. We're zahir when the Kedusha, which they were knowing. So he's saying the fact that you see it's chilaso, that originally it's chumrah and then it's kula, shows you that it's not conceptually a chumrah. It's not really a chumrah. Just sometimes, usually it turns out it's chomer, but sometimes it's a gula. So what does that show you? That is neither. It's just a definition of what an esrog is. But as opposed to the neisr malacha, that's the chomer. We're being knowing neisr malacha, not the malacha. That's the chomer. So that's what we took on. Okay, but the Ran is saying is no, we didn't take on the conceptual definition of those halachos whose concept conceptually are chumras, but we took on the practical actions of chumra. Practical actions of chumra are in those years where you have two asrogs, you get the ones to pitam. Those years that you don't have two asrogs, you take those out of pitam, but you don't make a bracha. We take on the practical chumras. Whereas again, the Ramban Morrison, we take on the conceptual chumras. But it's interesting, is that even the Balmor is not convinced. I mean, he's defending, he's explaining their Svara, but I mean, how do you know? Maybe we took on the Chumras. I mean, apparently it's a Svara, but he's not convinced that he doesn't have a riot that that's true. Apparently he holds that the other thing is also possible. The Ram just holds altogether. He doesn't hear the whole Svara. But even the Balmor who hears the Svara, he's some want to say it, but he says, we don't have a riot that that's the case. Maybe they really were knowing the Chumra, or the practical Chumras, and therefore we really should have to take it. So he's not interested. He's just bringing it down. He's hearing, he hear the possibility, but I'm not going to be makel because I'm practically I'm not sure about that. So he's macher practically. For the long one. You know. So there's things like I said. The definitely back in the day when they really didn't know what day Yom Tov was, they didn't know. They didn't know which way the device was. Then they really didn't know. Right, so they didn't know. So of course they were machmir both ways, because they had to play out both realities. Right? But we do know. We know that the first day is Yom Tov and the second day is Rosh Hashanah. First is Rosh, second is Rosh. But the only thing is that Klal Yisrael or Mekabel, as a minog, that we're going to be in Noheg to do what they did. We'll be machmir and we'll say, we'll still do, we'll treat it like what they did. But now what was that Kabbalah? Was that Kabbalah that we pretend like we still are in the dark? And we have to pretend like we're in the world of Safek, even though we're not? Or does it just mean that whatever they, what were they knowing, those halachos of Chumra, which they were knowing, we take on those halachos of Chumra. But it doesn't mean we're in doubt, we're not in doubt. So it's only me, those things whose conceptual nature is Chumra, but those which are Tchilas halachos of Halakha, forget it, we're not even going to take those things on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, you could say as a support for the Ran, is I think the Gemara says, is why do we even take that Chumra? I mean, it sounds funny now that it says, because maybe there's going to come a time where we're going to be in doubt again. So therefore, they didn't abolish the minhag. It says, look, it's true that now we get sophisticated, we know the calendar, and we know all that, but maybe there'll be a time where it'll go back, there'll be persecutions, whatever. I mean, look, maybe it could happen. You know, there's going to be persecutions to the point where we lose the Masorah, or we lose whatever. So now it's going to turn out, we're going to be in Suffolk again. So basically, the minhag was, is that you just, they never were involved the Yom Tov Sheni. Hell, it was a good thing, you know. So the Ran will say, so since that's the whole halacha, so the halacha should be, the minhag should be, we do exactly what they do, because we're acting as if we're in suffering nowadays, because the whole thing is maybe it's going to happen again. So why would it change from what they did and say no? Now we're just knowing those halachas are conceptually a chumrah. We should be knowing what they did and exactly what they did. That's the whole. That's the Ran's arguing. That's the whole halacha. That's what they were knowing, to do exactly what they did. But the Balmor is going to say it's true that we were knowing, and it's true that might be the time of the reason for the thing, because it may come back. Well, halachically, we were knowing as we were makabel chumras. Conceptually, that's what we were doing. We were knowing those things are chumras. Now, we're not just replicating what they did. If we'll go back, so whatever, yeah, we're going to have to adjust or whatever. But the niyog was the niyog of chumras. Those halachas are conceptually chumras. All right? Okay, so now what we'll do is, I guess we'll set up some we'll take up, I guess, tomorrow. So that is the Ran. It's really based on a Gemara, I'll show you. Give me a second here. Yeah, let's look. I mean, what I want to do now is, what I want to do for tomorrow is do this paragraph of, in the Ran. On Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Umihu. Okay, it's a paragraph of Umihu until Beden. Okay, so there's two dots. Okay, that's what I'm going to do for tomorrow. But it's based on a Gemara, so why don't we look at the Gemara? I mean, the problem is going to be is that in this Gemara, in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, sounds like the Halacha of Hadar, because it's Luv Yavesh. It says Luv Yavesh is possible. Right? Dried out Luv is possible. And the Gemara doesn't differentiate whether it's the first day or any other day. So the implication, the Mishnah doesn't differentiate, so the implication is that it's possible all 7 days. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand why, because you need Hadar, because you need their mitzvah. And that's what we talked about in Tosfos, that it seems that the halacha of Yidur Mitzvah is all 7 days. But there's a Gemara which seems to indicate that the halacha of Yidur is not all 7 days. It's only on the first day. And that's what the Ran is going to be grappling with. Okay, but why don't we do is let's look at the Gemara together. Okay, and then maybe we'll see. We'll see if we can do the Ran together, but at least let's get the Gemara together and you know, we'll see what it's based upon. So the Gemara is on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Lamed Vav Amud Beis on Sukkah. It's the fifth line. Idmar. Okay, Idmar. Esrog Shenigvu Achbar. So let's say you have an Esrog which has holes in it, because mice bit out little holes from it. Okay?
Sorry, which that?
Lamed Vav Amud Beis. 36B.
Oh.
Regular Gemara. It's the fourth, fifth line. Okay, so if you have an esrog, which mice or whatever achbar means, something like some mice-like creature, okay, they made holes in it. So Amar Rav ein ze hadar. That's not hadar. What does it mean? It's not hadar. You can't use it, right? Okay, so you're not allowed to use it. Because that's what Rav says. So Rav says it's not hadar, and it's possible. Yeah, you can't use an esrog which has holes, the mice holes in it. So the Gemara says, "Eini." The Rav Chanina matvil ba v'nafik ba. Rav Chanina took a bite out of his esrog, and he was yotza. He used it for the mitzvah. So therefore, what? What does that show you? Even though it has holes in it, you're allowed to do it. So how could you, Rav, say that if you have holes, mice holes in it, it's possible? But Rav Chanina, who is an authority, or he say he holds it, he could do it, it holds it, isn't a problem. So the Gemara says, I will Ruchanina Kasha Masnisan. Okay, because according to Ruchanina, there should be a question from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Chasar Kol Shehu, it was possible. Okay, so the Mishnah is on Chasar Kol Shehu, possible, it's not Lama Dalam Vez. So the answer, which is Chasar at all, with the whole one that's missing something, it's possible. Right, so how does it's not forget saying Ruchanina Zakasha on Rav? How are you saying is that Rav say it's good with all of these holes? Ruchanina ate it. The Mishnah is against Ruchanina. Don't ask on Rav. Ruchanina himself is difficult. The Mishnah says an esrog which has any hole in it is possible. So the Gemara says no. It says Bishlam of the Mishnah Ruchanina Lokasha. Kamiya Tefrishan Kamiya Tefsheni. The whole answer is that the Mishnah which says that as a hole in it is possible. That's on the first day. But on the other days, it's not possible. Okay? Because the halacha is Rashi explains. So the Tama, the idea that I can't have a hole is because the Lakach Tem is a drash, Lakicha Tama, a complete Lakicha. So if it has a hole in it, it's not a complete Lakicha. So that's why the Mishnah says it's possible to take it if it has a hole in it. But that's only on the first day, Lakachta. Lakichatama is only a requirement on the first day. Okay? But, although there's no psal. But in Hanina's case, he'll say it was on the first day. So he's not a problem in terms of the Mishnah. Right? But according to Rav, or Rav Kasha, but Rav is learning that the problem with holes is not a problem that it's chaser and it's not a Lakichatama. He says, Ein ze hadar. Is not Hadar, but Hadar is all 7 days. Like the halacha of Hadar is all 7 days, because the halacha of Hadar is like we see, for instance, in our Mishnah Yavesh, is possible all 7 days. So Hadar is really all 7 days. So since Hadar is possible all 7 days, how could he explain? How did Ruchanina take a bite out of it? Right? How did Ruchanina take a bite of it? You eat it, but even the second day, it's not going to help you. Right? So the more answer is no. It says, "Shiny achbarim l'charav, shiny achbarim demisi." No, that's because it's achbarim. It's not because it has holes that it's hadar, lacking in hadar. Holes really is just a kichatama, and it would be good after the first day. But mice biting into it, that's disgusting. And since that's disgusting, that lacks in hadar. So the reason why it's not hadar is not because of the holes, but it's because of the mice. Okay, it's because of the mice. Okay, fine. Let's look at Rashi. Says El Rav, this is very interesting Rashi here, which we didn't really take up, but I think it's trying to take up. El Rav the Amar in Zehadar, but Rav is in a Hadar, Kasha, the Rav Chanina, the Afilu Vashini Nami, the Rav Lanafik. Right? According to, since it's not Hadar, even on the second day, why? The Mitzvah Hadu Rav Inan. Because you need a Hidur Mitzvah. Right? And why? Why do you need a mitzvah? Remember, this is the problem. Well, why do you need a mitzvah? Ho'el umaz kir shem shamayim alav. Why do you need a mitzvah? He says, because since you're mentioning shem shamayim on the esrog. Kedem v'resh pirkin, yavish pasal, v'loshem v'shem v'shem v'sheni. Look at me, to be in hadar, v'leka. He says, like we see in our Mishnah, our case, that you need hadar. So what does he mean? Because you're saying shem shamayim alav. He's explaining to you why you need hadar here. Why is it that in all of the mitzvahs, either mitzvah is not ma'akev, but here it is ma'akev. Here you need hidur. Right? Here hidur is ma'akev. Zakeh ma'aveyu in theory, what do you mean? Who said that's ma'akev? So what's he saying? Why? Because you're ma'akev shem shamayim alav. Right? What does that mean, you're ma'akev shem shamayim alav? Racha? Shavach? Something like that, right? And you're using it as a vehicle of shavach. So then we kind of conjectured this, right? Maybe I knew it said it based on Rashi. I can't remember. Maybe whatever. But the idea is like that since it's an institution of Shavach, so now Hidur is going to be Ma'akev. It's not just Tam and Ma'isa Mitzvah that you do in the Ma'isa. The whole idea is here is Mishabeach Hashem with these objects, and you're using them as a vehicle of Shavach. So to use something which is disgusting or which has a pagam, which is that's he says that's a lack. That's a psalm. You know, but he's explaining the idea of why it's because Shavach that here this mitzvah is different. Maybe because of the limud, but he's saying that's the svara of the thing. Okay? Fine. And then if you look a little further in the Gemara, it says, Ika da'amri, al tal, Ika da'amri. So the Gemara basically says, so far the Gemara is saying is that if it just has regular holes in it, so then it's just not complete. That's only still on the first day. But if it has nail soles in it, that's disgusting. It lacks in Hidur and it's possible on all the days. Because the Hidur is a problem all the days. Okay? Ika da Amri, Amarav, Zehadar. It is Hadar. The Rechanina Matulav in Afikva. Because Rechanina ACA bin Tuniata. So he says, apparently it's not a problem. So I Rechanina Kashimas Nisan. But what do you mean? But the Mishnah, how could he do it? It's the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah says that a chaser is possible. Vokasha, kam yantav rishon, kam yantav sheni. No, that's only psal on yantav rishon, not yantav sheni. Okay? So apparently in this yersa, there's no distinction between worms and regular holes. Okay? Distinction between worms and regular holes. So according to this, right, there's no distinction, and therefore you learn the holes is only a problem of chaser. Chaser has nothing to do with hidur, it's because the kichatam has to be complete. So therefore there's no problem, so therefore you can take it. So it seems like that's the machlokes in these two different shatim. Is that a problem of mias? Is that a problem that's disgusting? Or do you say no, it's a regular problem that is not complete? It's not complete. Yeah, so I mean one thing we could explain is what's the difference between what's the Gemara's answer is that if you tell me there's a hole, what's the deal with a hole? Why is it that when the hole is a regular hole, it's just not complete? But when it's a wormhole, then it's disgusting. Right? Then it's not hadar. What's that idea? What's the difference between those two? What's the psul of the hole, and what's the psul of the disgusting? Yeah. Okay, but you'll see. Then what you do is only look at the Ran, because the Ran learns. He learns this differently. Because it turns out, according to this Gemara, the way Rashi's learning is the bottom line is that a hole in the thing has nothing to do with hidur. The only thing this Gemara is a Hidur is because it's the mice. Because the mice. But you'll see, the Ran doesn't learn that way. The Ran learns, this Gemara seems to be saying, is that it is Hidur. Rav is holding it is a Hidur thing, but Hidur is only on the first day. And since Hidur is only the first day, you have a Kasha, because the Gemara, our Gemara says Hidur is both days. You know, and this seems to be saying Hidur is only on the first day. Okay, and then he has a Kasha, and then he answers it. So that's why I'd like to take that up tomorrow. Okay? I think we'll take a little bit of the Gemara straight. There's not that much to take up. I kind of want to learn the Gemara through the eyes of the Ran. I mean, according to this way, just like it's one thing, is what's in the Kichatama and, Hidar. You know, it's not such a hard problem. There's kind of sense to it. You know, so I really want to get to the Ran. Okay, Rashi's learning the Gemara is pretty straight the way that he learns it.